the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is, never shall be.
In our modern day and era, we, as a nation, have become very, very politically charged. And our politics, very polemic. And it's interesting that in times of trouble or times of frustration, various groups arise and they fill the gaps. They fill the gaps where the people want them to fill them. And if you've ever thought about some aspects of politics, much of it is about flattering people's passions. You see, a passion is, in your soul, is essentially a negative sin, something that you're predisposed to, something that you give yourself over to, also often tied to a judgment, tied to a resentment, a frustration. But also, we can have hopes. We can have hopes and dreams that we want to fulfill. And so many great leaders come forth and speak and flame these. A lot of times the sea of humanity is like a puddle of gasoline just waiting for someone to light a spark, for someone to throw a flame, an ideal out there that flatters us, because much of us, whether we would like to acknowledge it or not, like to be flattered. And that validates either our judgments, our hopes, our despair, but in some way makes that true connection with our soul. And we know when it happens, because when these people speak, it resonates deeply within us. And so we've seen at various types of elections, people weeping, like the Beatles, you know, like when the Beatles came, like weeping over the candidates. We've even seen this in the church, people crying when a certain bishop or so-and-so is elected to the position, because it connects so deeply with our hearts. And some of it is not, it's not all negative. Some of it is positive, but much of it is rooted in our passionate need for validation and for our desire to have someone out there who is saying and communicating what we believe, what we think in, it needs to be said within the public sphere, whether it be the church, the secular society, or I don't know, maybe even your local sports team, I don't know. This was the same type of feeling that was going on during Jesus' time. The Jews are oppressed by the Romans, and there is a move of zealots, and you have two reactions to the occupation of the Jews. You have one, which is to go off into the mountains and run away and found your own little small semi-monastic community. You have the other option, which is to form a group which is socially active, politically active, that seeks to overthrow the reins of the government. And those were the political movements of Jesus' time. And then you have the traditionalists, the Pharisees and the various groups, the Sadducees, who are simply trying to keep a hold on tradition within a time where everything is being challenged for them. In this context, the miracle worker, Jesus, comes and he does a multitude of miracles and teaches. Some of his teachings sound like they might have come from the monastic group. Some of his challengings of authority sound like they might come from the group of zealots. And yet, at the same time, religiously, everyone is waiting for a Messiah, a deliverer. And then Jesus heals the blind, he heals the sick, he casts out demons, He raises Lazarus, who isn't just dead for a day, but is dead for 4 days. And we think that he might even stink when he's raised. Jesus does this, a miracle beyond all miracles ever heard of, Old or New Testament. And the people witnessing this want to follow him. And today, when he comes into Jerusalem, they greet him with palms and branches, and they give him the greeting of a king. Now, if you've read the New Testament, you'll be aware that there are a few other times when Jesus runs away from the crowds, because he said if he stuck around, they would seize him and make him the king. To the Romans, this picture of Jesus entering into Jerusalem and the crowds following Jesus and the various healings are threatening. Very simply, he seems to be partially tied to a rabble-rousing sort, a zealotry that the Romans feared. But to the people, let's think about it, those people throwing palms, they honor Jesus in a way that we celebrate to this day, and their honor is actually entirely appropriate, entirely due. In one of the Gospels, Jesus said, if the children were told to be quiet, the stones themselves would yell out the praises of God. But in honoring Jesus, in this particular instance, many are there who are simple, they're children, and they honor with a pure heart. There are then those there who are honor him because they witness a miracle, and because this is the greatest sign they've ever seen. Then there are those who have aspirations. Jesus, in some way, his presence, his teaching, somehow they have hopes in some connection that maybe he's even validated, that he may overthrow and be the one, the Messiah, the political Messiah that everybody is waiting for. So they greet him with the palms and branches. Later on, these same people will be disappointed, much like many of the people who wept over politicians and wept over various bishops, much like many of the people who went down to South America and drank the Kool-Aid, or went off into the desert seeking a foreign Christ. We're not immune to these sort of things. We often try to go, we're like moths to the flame, and if anybody has a bright personality, we often just out of our own souls are drawn to it. But there are so much stories of disappointment. Interestingly enough, Jesus doesn't disappoint. The problem is that his kingdom is not of this world. The problem is that his kingdom is not political. It is not a monastic kingdom that goes and hides itself from the world. It is not a kingdom that seeks to simply overthrow secular government. It is a kingdom that is so radical that in his death and resurrection, he releases us from the slavery to death, the slavery to our sin, and grants us an ultimate victory. Something we will celebrate in a week from now. And these palms symbolize that very victory that Christ will partake of, that he has partaken of. What we're asked to do is to find ourselves in the whole scenario. Many of us have our frustrations, our needs, our individual areas where we may be oppressed, physically, mentally, politically. We have many resentments and many ideas about how things could be fixed. And oftentimes we project these onto the Lord because we think the Lord should be the Savior of my life, that somehow he should save me the way I want him to save me, not asking me to pick up my cross and follow him, but rather that somehow God would adjust to our own ideology and by the force of flattery convert other people to our version of the gospel, our own personal versions, the way we live our life. For those people, if we're like that, we will always be disappointed in our Lord. He is not a tame lion. He is not someone who is manipulated. He is not someone who fulfills these human, guttural, flattery-oriented soul dispositions. His kingdom is not of this world. However, if we make Christ the center of our life, and if we seek first the kingdom and all that is there, we find fulfillment. We find victory. These palms and the various things that this procession that we'll have today will have a profound meaning for us. Because, again, the victory isn't hiding from the world. The victory isn't challenging the world and creating political messiahs. The victory is the transformation of each one of our lives. As we enter ourselves into the kingdom of heaven in this world and are transformed by God to become healed, to become purified, to become witnesses of all Christ taught and all that he really was. So, as we continue from the feast, let us consider where we might be in the crowd, what reason we actually might be following Jesus, and what do we hope to get from it. May our Lord bless us to have the kingdom of heaven at the center of our life, so that in that pursuit we will never be disappointed. And may we find the transformation as we head into this week, where we will witness our Lord's procession to the cross, his death, his resurrection, which is the ultimate victory that we even hold in our hands with the symbol of palms, the symbol of the victory that we celebrate. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.